The following podcast is sponsored by Bernard's Dehydrated Water. Simply pour the contents of Bernard's Dehydrated Water into a bowl, mix with water, and enjoy a refreshing lukewarm glass of Bernard's Dehydrated Water. Available at Walgreens.
Freshman class, I welcome you to your first semester here at the Carolina Shout Podcast University. I am Chancellor Ethan Uselin, and I will also serve as your personal piano player. I know that with hard work and persistence, you will excel here at college, and that you will live by our university's motto, In Tempore Syncopatus. Today, you have entered a new phase of life, a life of syncopation and ragtime. The sounds of boom-chick, boom-chick shall reverberate in your skulls from the moment you get out of bed at the Scott Joplin dormitory to when you eat breakfast at the Irving Berlin cafeteria and when you take your classes at Maple Leaf Hall. I encourage you to cheer on our football team, the Mighty Entertainers, who, as you know, won the division championship defeating Alabama 112-0. But freshmen, we are gathered here not to celebrate our football victories, but to remind you that your future begins today. In tempore syncopatus. Please be seated.
Hello, students. I hope you found freshman orientation enlightening and useful. I hope you were energized by Chancellor Ethan Uselin's speech. He is a legend here on campus and helped turn this school into the first-rate institution that it now is. And he looks the same in person as he does in the oil painting, doesn't he? Same boyish good looks. Anyway, today for our Ragtime 101 class, it is important that all you freshmen have some kind of grasp on the basics. So get your pencils out and write down what I'm about to say. The most important rag in the history of ragtime was the maple leaf rag. You should all be familiar with it. It is much more important than the Pythagorean theorem, which we do not teach here because it's a hoax anyway. The maple leaf rag was composed by Scott Joplin, who was an African-American born right after the Civil War in Texarkana, Texas, which is in East Texas, right near Arkansas. In this part of the country, the Middle Southwest, Texas, Oklahoma, parts of Missouri, Arkansas, this is where ragtime was born, the cradle of ragtime. And Scott Joplin began his music career traveling around these parts with a vocal quartet, and eventually he settled down in the small Missouri town of Sedalia. In Sedalia, Scott Joplin played piano at an African-American dance hall called the Maple Leaf Club. I think he was quite the celebrity over at the Maple Leaf Club because his nickname there was the Entertainer. Yes, that's where the name of the rag, the Entertainer, probably comes from. Anyway, while Scott Joplin was in Sedalia, he played piano at the Maple Leaf Club, and he left town here and there to do some touring with a vocal quartet, and he even enrolled at a small Sedalia college for African Americans called George R. Smith College, which no longer exists, and he did some composing as well. He seemed to have kept very busy, and he wrote the Maple Leaf Rag in 1899, dedicating it to the Maple Leaf Club, and he managed to get it published by a small white-owned publishing company right there in Sedalia called Stark Music. He signed a contract giving him 1% of the royalties, which doesn't sound like a great deal to me. But, you know, welcome to the music biz. Things haven't changed all that much. But the Maple Leaf Rag ended up going gangbusters, and the sheet music sold like hotcakes, And that 1% gave Joplin a steady chunk of income for the rest of his life, but it wasn't enough to make him wealthy. He was constantly fighting poverty. And Joplin went on to compose rags of astounding quality, but was never able to write another smash hit, unless you count The Entertainer, but that only became a hit in 1974, and since he had died in 1917, it didn't really do him much good. But hey, at least he did get to enjoy the success of the Maple Leaf Rag during his lifetime. How many big hits that changed the trajectory of American music did you write? Not many. Okay, back to the Maple Leaf Rag. Let's hear it, shall we? I'm going to play it for you right now on my big old piano in my living room. And keep in mind, the Maple Leaf Rag wasn't the first rag ever published. It was one of the earlier ones, but by no means the first. The Maple Leaf was simply the rag that brought ragtime to the forefront of American popular music of the early 20th century. Let's listen to it, and then we can have a class discussion. Allow me to play for you the Maple Leaf Rag by Scott Joplin, published in 1899 in Sedalia, Missouri. Okay, class, any questions, observations you'd like to make about the Maple Leaf Rag? Yes, you in the back in the gorilla suit with the banana? Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Great point. The right hand of the Maple Leaf Rag does sound like a banjo. Certainly a big part of the appeal. Thanks for that observation. Great point. I'd love to keep the discussion going, but as you know, in order to keep tuition low, we have to periodically interrupt class with a commercial. Today's sponsor is Bernard's Dehydrated Water. Simply pour the contents of a can into a bowl, mix with water, and enjoy a refreshing glass of Bernard's Dehydrated Water.
I'm just wild about Bernard's Dehydrated Water. I can't live without Bernard's Dehydrated Water. When you're thirsty and feeling low, just mix with water and you'll have H2O. All I crave is Bernard's Dehydrated Water. Bottled water won't do. That's just tap water anyway. you want a taste of paradise, just mix with water and then add ice. Bernard's dehydrated water. I love you.
Okay, class, let's resume. Now we're going to learn about another important piece you should all know about, the St. Louis Blues. Like the Maple Leaf Rag, this is one of those pieces that went absolutely viral and changed the face of music forever. It was composed by W.C. Handy, who is an African-American trumpet player and band leader born in Florence, Alabama. As a band leader, he traveled all over the South, and wherever he went, he didn't just perform music, but he also listened, and he listened carefully. He became intimately familiar with the African-American folk music of the cotton fields, levee camps, small towns, the music of the working people, the people that he called the underprivileged but undaunted class. And W.C. Handy incorporated what he heard into his compositions. Unlike Scott Joplin, W.C. Handy managed to form his own sheet music publishing company. So when he published the St. Louis Blues in 1912, he got a lot more than 1% of the royalties. He got wealthy. The St. Louis Blues ended up doing for blues what Scott Joplin did for ragtime. It popularized it around the world. And what was once an African-American folk music suddenly hit the mainstream and the general public gobbled it up. And the blues is still with us big time. It was the whole foundation for rock and roll, never mind its big influence in jazz and all sorts of other genres. So freshmen, listen up. It's important that you become familiar with the St. Louis Blues. Here's my rendition of it. Notice that it has three sections and that the second section is in minor and uses the Cuban habanero rhythm. The W.C. Handy Band had traveled all over the USA and to Cuba as well, so maybe Handy picked up the habanero rhythm down there, but who knows really. Here it is, the immortal St. Louis Blues. Okay, class, that was the St. Louis Blues. Any questions? Yes, you in the front with the scaly green skin and bifurcated tongue? Yes, this will be on the test. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about another important piano player, the great Ferdinand Jelly Roll Morton of New Orleans. Jelly Roll Morton was about a generation younger than Scott Joplin, so he grew up playing Joplin rags, marches, as well as some classical music, hymns, Creole music, just about anything and everything that was popular in New Orleans. Jelly Roll's music rose to prominence in the 1920s, and he is credited as being one of the pianists who helped bridge the ragtime era to the jazz era, kind of like how Beethoven was the transition between the classical era and the romantic era, but that's classical music, which of course is strictly forbidden at this university. Now, class, I see that many of you are dozing off, so I'm going to wake you up with some piano playing. We're going to play for you the Maple Leaf Rag again, but this time I'm going to do my best to replicate the way Jelly Roll Morton played it when he recorded it in the 1930s. Notice how different it is from the Scott Joplin version that I played earlier in the lecture. There are lots of improvisations and Latin rhythms that Joplin may or may not have approved of. So here it is, the Maple Leaf Rag a la Jelly Roll Morton. But this time I'm going to use a recording I made several years ago, because I don't remember how to play it this way anymore. You got to keep practicing this stuff. And so I'm going to use this recording like a teaching assistant. So I'm just going to relax, put my feet up on the desk, and let the teaching assistant do the work. Here it is, Maple Leaf Rag a la Jelly Roll Morton. Okay, class, that concludes today's lecture. Remember, we have a test next Tuesday. If you missed a test, you better have a note from Dr. Jazz. Before I dismiss you, please rise and join me as we sing to our alma mater.
Hail the Carolina Shout Podcast. We sing to thee our praise. Hail the Carolina Shout Podcast. We download you always. We listen on our iPods and Androids when we drive our car. Hail the Carolina Shout Podcast, bright and shining star. Hail the Carolina Shout Podcast, we love you a great extent. Hail the Carolina Shout Podcast, on iTunes we leave a comment and a rating. We love your ragtime and your jokes, and your sponsors too. We tell our friends about this podcast. It's the thing to do.
Class of 2022, you may now be seated. Your extra credit homework assignment is to rate and review this podcast on iTunes, or go ahead and share it on Facebook and social media. Spread the good word. Professor Kate, will you please roll the credits? The Carolina Shout Podcast is produced and recorded at Ethan Uslin's home in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kate Uslin is the audio engineer. She's also Ethan's wife. No nepotism was involved in her landing this position. This is a university. Things like that simply don't happen here. We would like to thank our sponsor, Bernard's Dehydrated Water, which is served in powdered form at the university cafeteria, because this is a dry campus. You may have recognized our alma mater song, because it's used by many colleges and universities across the country with the same melody but different lyrics. The most famous version is Far Above Cayuga's Waters, which is used by Cornell. Thanks for listening to this podcast, and stay tuned next time when I will broadcast live at 3 a.m. at a Montclair State University frat party. It's going to be a lot of fun. See ya.